when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, we were just talking during the break. I've got a couple of intellectuals on tonight. We let one intellectual just go, Brother Paul Fromm. He kind of reminds me of the absent-minded professor, and I know y'all know why if you listen to the last broadcast. And I told him, I know this is one of these rabbit trails I go down. We have another intellectual coming on. His name is Don Wassel. He's an attorney. They all got more education than I got, but I was telling Paul, it's true, he graduated valedictorian in his high school, and I think he was summa cum laude in college. And I tell people, I graduated, thank you, Lord. Thank you, dear Lord, when I got out. So that's why I have all these intellectuals on. I try to get these stars on to carry the program. That way I don't have to know hardly anything. All I have to do is get people on that do know stuff, and they are good and highly skilled. And that's why I have this fellow on right now, and that's why he thanks you. As a matter of fact, thank you, Lord, that Don's coming back on, because if you would get bored listening to me talk in just a few minutes. Anyway, how you doing tonight, Brother Don?
Hey, I'm doing great, Eddie, and I just want you to know I barely graduated high school. I was a thank you, Lord, when I got my high school degree. So got a little better after that, but I was pretty much a goofball in high school.
Man, I was on my hands and knees. I got to thank you, pray to the Lord. I got to tell you a quick story about school. I went to school with the brain. He became a doctor. He started what we know as today in the United States as a minor emergency clinics. He's since retired. He got run out by the powers that be. They offered him a deal he couldn't refuse, so to speak. That's a true story. But I had goofed off so much in high school. To get out, to pass biology, I had to have something like a 94 on the final exam to pass that test. So he worked my butt off for about a week. And lo and behold, I passed by the skin of my butt. I made a 96 on the final exam in biology. And so I was 2 points over what I needed. So I thought, why the hell did I work so hard? All I need is one more point. But anyway, that was me, man. I was much more concerned about rabbit hunting and duck hunting and running trot lines at night, skipping school, and football. And I thought, well, you know, class was just kind of like a pain in the butt. But anyway, with that, we're going to go to Don. And we talked about in the past, Don, because we have people coming and going all the time, and you haven't been on a whole lot. But tell the people, you have one hell of a long resume. I really do. So give the people your little bit of your bio. And I really love it when you talk about the Populist Party. But tell the people about how you got into this situation, this thing called being a patriot, being an activist. And also, I think you're starting to get getting another radio program yourself. So anyway, just go ahead and give them that quick bio, Don, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. And by the way, I skipped so many days in school my senior year. I think I was number one in skipping classes and skipping entire days. And it's kind of funny. The only day I got caught was like near the end of the school year, and it was called Hookout Day or whatever you call it. It was like a day everyone was supposed to not show up, and that was the day I got caught. But brings back some interesting memories. You know, I can remember having to I don't even know what you call it, the punishment, where you have to sit at school after classes are over, you know, to make up for all the days I missed and everything. So, but it turned out a little bit better after that. I did put myself through college and then law school and got involved. I was reading a newspaper called The Spotlight, and kind of turned me on to racial issues and course, we didn't talk about we didn't call it the Great Replacement yet then, but just the demographic trends and the negative cultural trends. And so I got involved in the Populist Party in the early years, ended up pretty much running it when I was only around 30 years old. We ran presidential candidates in 1988, 1992. 1988 was David Duke. 1992 was Beau Greitz. But in between and after, we had a lot of other candidates on the ballot. I mean, we were a smaller version of what the Democrats and Republicans do. And so that was a lot of fun. I mean, it was a lot of work, but it was a great experience. And I know you've lamented it like me. It's a shame we don't have anything like that now. But it's just, that's just what it is right now. And of course, everybody's behind Trump. We got to see what Trump does, if he fails or things go south. Maybe there'll be potential, but I think right now everyone's sort of hoping that he's going to come through. And because as we've talked before, Eddie, I'm really positive and optimistic about what's going on. But at any rate, along the way there, I published a newspaper called the Freedom Times for 38 years. I started a website called castfootball.us, C-A-S-T-E, football.us. Started that in 2004, and it's still online after all these years. And then, I guess the good news is, since I talked to you last, I have a new website that was built and just launched a week ago called AmericanFreedomNews.us, AmericanFreedomNews.us. That actually was online earlier in a different version, but I shut it down when I shut down the Freedom Times and the other stuff I was doing almost 2 years ago. But I've got the itch again, and I can't put out a newspaper like I used to. It's just a cost prohibitive, unfortunately. But next best thing is to have an online presence in the alternative media, because that's where the action is now, as you well know. So I'm pretty happy about it. It's called AmericanFreedomNews.us. And if people go there, it's basically a news and opinion aggregation site. And if you go to it every day, you'll be the best informed person in your locality, I guarantee you, because I put a lot of really good stuff on there from all over the political spectrum, but mostly right-wing stuff. But just enough, I try to make it unique, because there are a lot of news aggregation and opinion aggregation sites out there, but a lot of them are just sort of predictably conservative or whatever. I like to put more interesting stuff out there also, right-wing populist, left-wing populist, racial issues, things like that. So trying to build it up, and so I recommend it, obviously. And I'm also starting a Substack column called Postcards from the Empire. I just started that recently. I'm still trying to get the hang of Substack. There's a lot I don't know about it or how to maximize it. I don't have any subscribers yet. There's people on Substack that literally have tens and hundreds of thousands of paid subscribers. Yeah. So they get rich from it. I'm not trying to get rich. I'm just trying to do something that might help me pay some of my bills. So that's two new things there, AmericanFreedomNews.us and a Substack column, Postcards from the Empire.
I sure wish I could get more tech savvy. I've been trying to enlist my grandson to come help me out, because he's the typical young guy. They were born with a mouse in their hand, so I don't even know if they still use mouses. But I'm so behind the time.
They're still there. Yeah, well,
he's into this. In fact, he does that for a living. He does. He just went back into. He was in cybersecurity. He left that, doing something else in the computers, and went back to cybersecurity. He seemed like he's never satisfied. He's like these young people. They never keep a job very long. This is just, they're always looking for something else. But I do. To survive in today's world, if I survive much longer, I'm gonna have to learn how to do that myself, or get some other people to do this. We talked about that before.
Show you or whatever. I'm okay once I know what I'm doing. But I'm here. I don't have anyone that comes here on site to help me out with anything. So I have to try and figure it out myself, or pay somebody. And of course, that adds up pretty quickly too. So that's what's frustrating about it, because like you, I wasn't born with a mouse in my hand, and there's a lot of things. It's pretty can drive you nuts sometimes, computers, when you're trying to learn things and figure out how to do things. But I do the best I can.
I'd like to get more young people behind us and that are tech savvy. Matter of fact, we have a kid named, he hasn't been on in a while, Ben Walker. He's only, I think, if I forgot, 29 years old, and he's real tech savvy. He'll be on pretty soon. But anyway, going back to what you said, You had a fantastic newspaper. If you're online, if American Freedom News and Postcards from the Empire, if they are as good as your newspaper, they will be dynamite. I've still, as a matter of fact, I've told you I found a treasure trove. I'm so thankful people can't see my office. It's pitiful. It looks like a cross between a gypsy, trailer park and a junkyard. I was cleaning up and stuff and found a stack of them. The one I wished I could have found was the one about electric cars. I looked for it. I would love to get that. But anyway, I hear the music, getting ready to go to our first break. Don, if dear people, hang on to your seat. This just be a short break, about 2 minutes. So don't go anywhere. Be right back.
Our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep and join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood Roof Radio family, I can highly encourage you to go to Don's website, AmericaFreedomNews.us. I used to have to take his paper, and it was great. I wished it hadn't folded. I still like it. I'm an old-fashioned guy, I guess. I don't think there's any substitute for you can just take a paper with you. You don't have to pack a laptop with you or a phone. You can just carry a phone. You go to your favorite, a paper, your favorite coffee shop, or whatever. You just peel it out and read it. And you can see, you can underline stuff. I guess I'm just an old wore-out dude, but I like to do that. Also, he has Postcards from the Empire on Substack. And what do you do? Just type in Substack, Don? Tell them, how do you do that, man?
Boy, that's what I'm saying, Eddie. I'm not even sure myself yet. I've only written two columns, and one doesn't even show up on my site. So I was going to say, if anyone out there is listening and knows anything about Substack and can help me out a little bit, just to get off the ground, send me an email at contact@AmericanFreedomNews.us. contact@AmericanFreedomNews.us. I'm going to go to my page here, and it looks to me, the way it's set up now anyways, the URL would be Don Wassell, my name, DonWassall, .substack.com. I think that's where you find it. I don't know if somebody put in Postcards from the Empire, if they'd find it or not. Maybe they would. Like I said, I'm a real novice at this, and that's, as I was saying before, and I'm sure you know, it's frustrating at times trying to learn how to do things. But that's really the stage I'm at now. So anyone out there listening, if you can give me some hints or help, please please fire me off an email and I'll get back to you.
And if you have anything else new, the information that they could use to get to your site, before we go on the program next week, you can send it to me. Just let me know you sent it, and we'll sure cover that.
Or they could go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and go scroll down to the contact link on the page at the bottom of the homepage. That's another way. That's the easiest way to email me, I guess.
Well, I'm excited about that. As a matter of fact, I thought about putting out, I'd like to get our little newsletter. It's only about two pages. My idea was to have this about two pages, and I had enough people on the staff where I didn't have to write anything. But I would love to have some stuff if we ever get ours going. We were up about two issues, and every time we would get up, we would get taken down by the same old people. So we just finally, it was costing money and time, and we just finally had to give it up for a while. Well, you know, you were talking about CAS football, and that is a unique, that's a one-of-a-kind venue. I don't know any other site like that that covers that material in depth like you do with statistics, fact, knowledge about the differences about the way white athletes have been, you know, intentionally held down. So, Don, with that, tell the people about CAS football, Don.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we've heard in the last few years about DEI. That's one that gets tossed around a lot, which is really just another – term for affirmative action or reverse racism, quotas, that kind of thing. And really, that's been going on in sports for a long time, but it's a lot of people just have not seen it, even right-wingers or pro-white people. And I think part of the reason is a lot of racially aware white people have no interest in sports because they sort of just see it as circus, bread and circus, and dominated by blacks, and it's just not something that interests them. So it's hard to find people that have... And of course, I was interested in sports at a very young age, so I think that's why a lot of people stumble onto it. They politically have moved to the right, but they were also a sports fan, and they can see this. I mean, the way whites are just blatantly discriminated against and made fun of by the media. I mean, it's a sprawling thing that's institutionalized like everything else in this system. And that's what, you know, just parenthetically, that's one of the great things that's happening right now. I mean, with Doge and with Elon Musk and Trump, I mean, everything's starting to get exposed. And our system, our government, our institutions are corrupt beyond belief. I mean, just beyond belief what's coming out. I mean, this is one of the greatest, it's the greatest time of my life, really, to see all this coming to light. And like I said, I'm very thankful about it. But we've been fighting the good fight in sports and race. And actually, CAS football is pretty slow right now, so... Anyone out there, if you have interest in sports at all and the racial dynamics of sports, please participate if you want to. You're more than welcome. CAST Football, CASTE. That's the short for the CAST system, castfootball.us. And, yeah, it is kind of slow right now. I mean, I know you were saying during the break, Eddie, that your donations are slow right now. And
yes.
I hope it's just temporary, man. Everyone out there, you got to keep the fight. Now is time to intensify. Don't slack off and just think everything's great right now, because the left is they're trying to regroup. I mean, they're on their heels right now, but they'll never give up. They're just trying to figure out new ways to go on the offensive again. So we got to keep them down and put our boots on their neck like they've tried to do to us all these years.
You've got that right. You know, before I comment about, excuse us, never-ending hack, I've told people before, we live like in a swamp in Memphis, Tennessee. It's low. It's always wet. And, the humidity's always high. And I stay outside a lot, running a lot. And people lately been slowed down a little bit. But I ask people to excuse that. Use that hat. You know, talking about CAS football, I used to be a gigantic Alabama fan. First of all, my first love was Southside High School Scrappers, and that was back in the late 50s and early 60s. And I thought, you know what, Don, I thought if you played fullback, my favorite player was a guy named Earl Beckett. And when I was in the sixth, seventh grade, he was a senior in high school. I just thought if you got to be Earl Beckett and you play for Southside, that was like going to the Super Bowl. That's as high as you got. And then I started getting interested in college. Again, I discovered with a guy, Johnny Vaught at Ole Miss. and I discovered this guy named, when I was in high school, named Coach Paul Bear Bryant.
Well,
and I just fell in love with those guys. But I'm looking here, and they were all, they used to call them the skinny-legged, little skinny-legged white boys back in the 50s and 60s, Alabama. They won the national championship in 1961 with a guy named Pat Trammell. And I'll get off of this in a minute. His name, he was the son of a doctor. He became a doctor, but he died of cancer when he was still young. And he was only about 30-something when he died of cancer. But they were all white. Pat Trammell was big for a quarterback, 6'2", weighed about 210. He was one of the largest men on the team. That's why they call the little skinny-legged white boys. But they were great. I'm looking at this latest recruiting record I pulled up for 2025, going from the top to bottom, 5 stars, 4 stars. Keelon Russell, Duncanville, Texas, black. Michael Carroll, black. John Lee, black. Ivan Taylor, black. You have to go 5 players down. I finally see a white honky. Then it goes back to black. Derek Meadows, black. Justin Hill, black. A-K-Y-L-I-N, whatever the hell it is. Acklin Deer, white. Obviously, it'd be black. It's black, black. And you go all the way back down 3 more. There's 2 white guys. I see, looks like three whites. Out of 25 recruits. Wait, there's one more. Four whites.
That's how they do it.
A total of 5 whites out of their entire. That's 5 over. So what's that? 20%. 80%.
The most important way, Eddie, that this is done is with these so-called scouting services and recruiting services. And what they do is weed out. In high school, there's still a lot of racial slotting, but just because of the demographics of a lot of school districts, some of them are still overwhelmingly white. And they do really well. Predominantly white teams generally will beat predominantly black teams. I mean, that's just a fact. Not always, but it happens a lot. But then you look at what happens after high school, and the black kids, even the ones that aren't that good, they all get offered scholarships, and even to the big schools. And then you look at the white kids, and maybe an offensive lineman or two and a tight end and maybe a quarterback, not even a quarterback that often now. They might get recruited, but all the other white kids, the running backs, the wide receivers, all the ones on defense, they basically do not go on and play college football unless they want to play for a really small school or be a walk-on at one of the bigger programs. So this is where what we call the caste system really intensifies is after high school. They weed out most of the white stars. Average black players go on. It's DEI, it's affirmative action, but it's not seen yet. But, you know, it's interesting you mentioned, first of all, Bear Bryant. I mean, what a legendary coach he was.
Yes.
And, he had all white teams for many years, and they would beat integrated teams. There's been, I think, USC and finally beat them 1 year. But, they had a few blacks, but it was still, even then, USC, UCLA, schools like that, they were still pretty much white. I mean, it was before all the great replacement happened, and whites were weeded out everywhere. But then you think back to, you remember Billy Cannon? You were talking about players
in
the past.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes.
Heisman Award. He won the Heisman Trophy. Great running back for LSU.
Yes.
Ran back punts. He did it all. But, okay, so where are the Billy Cannons today? Why are there none like that, You have Christian McCaffrey, who was like the only white running back in the last 40 years that was highly recruited and drafted by the NFL to play running back. So you're telling me somehow whites can no longer play running back effectively, except maybe once every 30 or 40 years? And you look at defenses, they're almost all black. And now even quarterback, you look at, again, quarterback has changed dramatically just in the last 10 years. It was still mostly white, but they were pushing the black ones more and more, and now they've had a certain amount of success. And so you look at the scouting services now, and you look at the quarterbacks, and a lot of them are black coming out of high school too. So whites are even being replaced at quarterback, the last holdout position. So they just, keeps marching on, and we're hoping we can wake some more people up with Trump 2.0 in there with more freedom of speech and thought.
I hope we can. With that, we're going to a bottom of the hour break. Folks, we'll be right back after this 5-minute break. So you got plenty of time to get some coffee or anything you'd like to do. We'll be back in 5 minutes, people. Hang on now.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Trump says last November's election results are historic.
We achieved the great liberation of America. We're liberating our country right now. We're doing all these things that you're reading about. We're liberating our country.
The president today was in Maryland in suburban Washington addressing CPAC. Oklahoma Republican Senator James Lankford says one of the biggest areas of government waste is being largely overlooked.
In the federal government, the payment system, we know of $100 billion just in Medicare, Medicaid, and improper payments that we don't have any connection to at all. So that one program, there's improper payments of $100 billion and no one's chasing it.
And he says unused office space, one of the biggest areas of waste.
We've now got 17 agencies in the federal government that they're using 25% or less of their floor space, of actually their office space. So that means we're paying for 75% of empty buildings, empty desks, phone lines, everything else that's set up for there.
Also at townhall.com, Hamas releasing the last six living hostages expected under the first phase of the ceasefire with Israel. Daniel Ryan Spaulding, who watched as the hostages were brought out of the hospital, says he's glad to have more of them back.
Energy here very much is relief. It's a catharsis, a feeling of, you know, Israelis so desperately want their people back, and no one wants to be at war, and no one wants to be in suffering, but it's very important just on an energetical level that these people are returned, that every single one of them is returned.
Those released today include three Israeli men seized from a music festival, another taken while visiting family in southern Israel when Hamas terrorists attacked on the 7th of October, 2023. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Heard me talk about Relief Factor and how so many people enjoy a better, more pain-free life because of it. If you're dealing with everyday pain, it makes sense you'd want to try it first. Well, Relief Factor makes that pretty pain-free, too, with their three-week quick start kit for only $19.95. An easy, affordable way to see how it could literally change your life, like it has mine. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It helps reduce or eliminate pain. In fact, the longer you take it, the more effective it is. Trying it couldn't be easier with their three-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. And it just takes a phone call to 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF. Wherever you're having pain, every day you feel better is a day you live better. Try Relief Factor's three-week quick start. Visit ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF for Relief Factor.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
I gave you power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we were talking about cast football before we went to the break. Excuse me. And we were talking about President Trump. And I don't share the same optimism. I'll just leave it at that. That Don doesn't. He's done some things. It looks, on the surface, looks really great. And I'm going to leave it at this. But he's flooding his cabinet with homosexuals and lesbians. I mean, it's loaded with them. I've read an article today. They talk about the purple mafia. Now, I can say this because my wife is a recovering Catholic. I'm a recovering Baptist. In the Catholic Church, they call it the pink mafia. Father Malachi Martin used to talk about the pink mafia that came in, homosexuals that infiltrated the Catholic Church and took over years ago. Of course, Father Malachi Martin, this is kind of another rabbit trail I go down. He choked on a chicken bone, and because he was spilling the beans about the Catholic Church, they had to kill him. And I forgive this rabbit trail. He wrote a book that would raise the hair on your head. It's scary. He wrote several of them, Don. One's called "Hostage to the Devil." When he was one of the certified exorcists for the Catholic Church. He wrote another one called "Windswept House," which I read. This to keep you up at night. There was allegedly a human sacrifice in the Vatican. And this is guy, he wasn't just a Catholic priest. He was a high up insider of the Catholic Church, spoke like eight languages. At the same time, there was this church in the United States. They were having a human sacrifice at the same time they had the human sacrifice in the Vatican. And I've been within a few miles of that church and didn't even know I was there. It's all places in Greenville, South Carolina. If I can find that church, the next time I go to Greenville to see Paul Lawrence, I'm going to see if I can find that church. But the church got flooded with homosexuals. The Trump administration is, in fact, I did a little research today, written down a bunch of them, and the New York Post said, they call it the purple mafia. They're flooding it with lesbians, LGBT, the Jews, everywhere. And the ones that aren't
I thought Trump was getting rid of all them. I wasn't aware of all the LGBT. Is there? Can you direct me to a source or two?
Yes.
I would like to see that for sure.
Yeah, if you go to the New York Post, in matter of fact, if I can find my notebook, I was over at the coffee shop today looking at that just today doing research about that. They named, in fact, I think that pink headset you mentioned, I can't swear that. Don't hold me to it. I believe Hexet might be one. I'll have to.
They don't like him because he's a man's man, and you know he likes to drink, and I mean he's supposedly.
I may have him mixed up with another, but I'll get that information. In fact, I promise next time we have you on, I'll have that. But they listed about six.
Yeah, I would like
six.
To see that. Like I said, because I look at pictures and stories about the people that Trump and people working for him are firing, and they're the ones you look at, and they're obvious lesbians, and
that's what's so puzzling about
manly-looking lesbians.
That's what's so puzzling. That's why I'm having a hard time figuring out how he's keeping people off balance. He balanced me with somebody else. I won't mention his name. That the bearded wonder. Rich Hamblin and I, we were in an organization with him, and he said the guy was really cagey. You can't pin him down. You can't figure him out. That's what's so puzzling to me. Why is he firing some? Evidently, it must be the ones that the Jews and the homosexuals that did not support him, that tried to attack him. He's coming after them, but he's loaded down. You know, he had a whole bunch of them down Mar-a-Lago. What was a couple of years ago? It was just like Faggot City, a bunch of it. Also, he's flooding it with Jews. Some of the most, and the ones that aren't Jews, for instance, like the Rubio, just virulent, pro. I mean, Israel first. I have a policy. I never argue with the guests or anything. But I'm just pointing out this other things. That's why I'm. And I agree with you. He's better than Biden. I mean, who could not be better than Biden? But I think in the long run, and I shouldn't even mention this, I think what's going to happen on any, in fact, I predict this. I predict that you're going to see an exodus of Jews from around the world and from Israel going in and settling into the Ukraine. I think that's probably going to be a deal that Trump's going to make with Putin. I would not, and that would be, I'll get off this just for a second. I'll get back to Coastal Cast football. I think the ultimate thumb of the Zionist thumb into the eye of the Russian Christian, white Russian people would be having Jews come back into the Ukraine, which I think at one time was a part of Russia. If not, it was a part of the Soviet Union. I think that'd be the ultimate thumb in the eye. And as we've been hearing, they're just mountains and mountains of vital, precious minerals there. There's oil. There's some of the greatest agricultural land in the world. But I'll shut up and get off of that. I'll just give it another side there. I'm like you. I just wished what he's doing, all these things he's supposed to be doing. I hope it comes out that way. I have little faith because in the end, and I'll shut up. I promise I'll shut up after this. Our only hope for white people in this country here, we would have to get our way from the empire, from the Sodom on the Potomac. There's no way we can ever remain a part of this government we call the United States of American government. And we're just going to keep going down, down, down. That's just one man's opinion. But once again, I graduated. Thank you, Lord. So you probably should take that with not a grain of salt, but with a 50-pound bag of salt.
Well, that means you probably have a lot more common sense than a lot of people that have PhDs and, you know, 3 or 4 degrees. So.
Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. But I try. By the way, getting back, hey, I'm like I was telling Don during the break. We fly by the seat of our pants, no parachute. We work without a net, and I wish I could be more rigid, make a plan. But you want to go back? I guess this is kind of a like somebody working in a patient in Memphis Mental Institute. You want to go back to cast football? Because I was trying to pull up the Ole Miss recruits this year, and it's just black. But anyway, back to you, Don. I'm sorry that I'm sorry for going down the damn rabbit. I'm notorious for one of these damn rabbit trails. But I'm sorry, brother.
It's interesting. I mean, I wasn't aware of what you were saying as far as the LGBT. I mean, I know every administration is going to have a lot of Zionists, hardcore Zionists. I mean, that just goes with the territory. But I wasn't aware of the other stuff. But yeah, well, if you go, I mean, what we were talking about, the Southern schools there. I mean, the SEC. That's like the Bible when it comes to the caste system and discrimination against whites. I mean, the NFL pulls so many players from the SEC. That's who they draft. You play for the SEC, you're assumed to be an NFL caliber player, and yet that's often not the case. That's another thing that we do on caste football. We have a – I'm going to click it right now while we're talking. It's called – this is under the NFL form, recent busts. You know, guys that didn't live up to their billing, to put it mildly. And this this has – 791 different posts and 120,000 views. So we going back to 2013. So for the past 12 years, just on this one thread alone, we've been chronicling all these blacks drafted in the first and second round, one after another. It's just been horrible in the NFL, and yet nobody ever notices or changes anything. And a lot of them come from the SEC too. They're just not, you know, there are a lot of these linemen, especially offensive linemen. They're big, but they're fat, and they can barely move. they're cement.
And they're
footed,
dumb.
You know?
They're dumb too.
Whereas a lot of the white guys, I mean, they're not 340 pounds, but they can move better, and that's one thing we talk about too. I mean, white athletes are as good as or not better than blacks in any area you want to talk about, physical and mental, except for one area. And that's running in a straight line for 40 yards, the 40-yard dash. And, of course, that's the one area that the media talks about over and over. That's like the be-all and end-all of everything when it comes to athleticism. They talk about, what's your 40-yard time? He's a fast 40 guy. And, therefore, guys like that, even if their hand-eye coordination is bad, if they don't have quickness, because you can run a straight line very fast and not be quick. And the NFL is all about quickness, too, cutting, changing direction, running routes properly and things like that. And so we chronicle that, how the test at the combine, the annual combine in Indianapolis, which is coming up at next weekend, actually. You look at this, you'll hear about the 40-yard dash times where the blacks on average will be quicker than faster than the whites, but you will have very little about the shuttles and the various tests that test quickness, change of direction over short areas, and that's where the whites are better than the blacks that are supposedly faster than them. So there's all kinds of things when you look at it where you can see how this caste system is blatantly unfair to white athletes in football and basketball especially. And then, of course, you've got the media, which, of course, you know, what do you think of? Well, white men can't jump. White men
yes.
can't run. You know, the white men aren't athletic. That all comes from the media, and it's all lies. And so you've got the scouting services and the drafting by the NFL and everything that discriminates against whites, and then it's backed up or enabled by all these negative stereotypes. Negative stereotypes about whites and positive stereotypes about blacks, which often aren't true. You know, we jokingly call them the world's greatest athletes, WGA, because so often
we
have
to go a quick break. Go quick break. Be right back, folks.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I've been enjoying this so much. I think Don's kind of, even though he's an attorney, and he's obviously has to have some education on the ball, we just really hit it off, and I really enjoy talking to that guy. I really do. And I'm probably a little older than him, but we probably came up under the same time Haley's comments came through. But anyway, Don, we were talking about your big site, Cast Football. Now, how did we mention in pardon my crappy memory, how can they go, how can these people go to, you have the site just for Cast Football, don't you?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last part of your question.
Oh, you do have, don't you have a site people can go into Cast Football?
Well, I mean, it's castfootball.us, that's the URL for the...
Good deal. Okay, good deal. I just want, yeah. So they can go into business there. Well,
yeah, they can sign up and post. Like I said, we're kind of short of posting right now. It's kind of dropped off lately, and yeah, I think part of it's just because we just had the Super Bowl, which is a big deal and stuff. But still, if you got any interest in sports and you're pro white, I mean, this would be a great site to come on and share your opinions. That's what we want.
You know, I know golf doesn't have anything to do with football, but it's just, it make me want to puke, especially here in Memphis. The Tiger. Oh, Tiger needs to come back to golf. Oh, golf needs Tiger Woods so bad. I mean, they talk
about
like
he's beat up, you know. He's not. But the thing is, too, but if I can just bring something up. When Tiger, it's been almost 30 years now since Tiger Woods turned pro. Okay, he turned pro, I think, in 1996. He won a tournament right away, and then in 1997 he won the Masters by 12 shots, and he was 21 years old, and of course that's when his legend began, and he did have a great career. But the fact is he's only won one major since 2008, that's 17 years now, and yet they still act like he could, you know, if he could only get out there, he'll still win. Well, that's not true. But what's interesting, too, though, and we documented this quite a bit, too, when he became a professional and had all that success, the media line was that he was just the beginning of a black takeover of golf. He was just opening the door, and blacks would watch and see how good he was, and they'd take up golf, and they would dominate it, just like they'd say, like football and basketball. Well, guess what happened? It's 30 years later, and he's still the only good black golfer in the last 30 years. There hasn't been one other good black golfer. There's a few on the PGA Tour that compete now and then, but they're not anywhere near the top. And, you know, so that's the thing. I mean, you look at sport after sport. Take away football, basketball, and sprinting and track, and you look at the composition, and they're almost all white or white-dominated. Whites dominate just about everything. Baseball's down to about 60% white, but that's because Major League Baseball, they're having a hard time getting American blacks. So what they do, they set up these academies, so-called baseball academies in the Dominican Republic. There's dozens just in the Dominican Republic. And in various other countries around the world, they don't set them up in Appalachia or in rural areas. They set them up either in urban areas in the U.S. or in other third world countries. So they're going to, by hook or crook, they're going to make baseball as non-white as possible, too. So, I mean, it's just, this is what goes on. And, you look at every sport, even boxing, there was a white renaissance, but the media didn't talk about it. They still want to talk about Mike Tyson or, Muhammad Ali or something like that. And the Klitschko brothers from Ukraine, in fact, they were unbeatable heavyweights for years. And there was for a while. And most of the weight classifications in boxing, whites are champions, are very competitive. So it's really just football, basketball, and sprinting. And there's racial slotting in those three sports. Whites are pushed away from sprinting. Oh, you're white. You can't compete. Well, there are whites with world-class speed, but most of them, they don't go into something like sprinting. They'll be directed to baseball or lacrosse or something like that. But whites have speed, too. They might not be quite as fast as blacks in a straight line on average, but there's still a heck of a lot of fast white guys out there, That's just what's so frustrating to see. I mean, whites have tremendous athleticism. You look at the Winter Olympics, about 90% of the medals are won by whites. Summer Olympics, even the Summer Olympics, the majority are won by whites. Something I can't remember exactly. I think it's around 70-80%. So who, you look at the facts, who are the world's best athletes? It's whites. Yeah. It's Whitey, good old Whitey.
You mentioned boxing. There's also a boxer. He hasn't been around in a while. He was really going great. I think he was a nephew, distant relation to John Wayne. You probably know who I'm talking about. His name was Tommy Morrison.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he I had his name and I forgot it. But, yeah, he was a top heavyweight for a while. But, unfortunately, he was self-destructive. I think he was.
Yes, he was.
Into the booze and drugs and I think he ended up getting AIDS. I don't think he got it through homosexual activity. I think it was just one of those things. He got it from a bad needle or something like that. But, yeah, I can't think of his name. But you're right. He was
John Tommy Wayne's Morrison. Mm-hmm.
Tommy Morrison. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a charismatic guy, too. It's a shame he was self-destructive.
He had many fighters talk, said that he had the hard – I don't know if it's the left hook, but he hit harder than anybody. Matter of fact, if I had time, I'd look it up. Mike jumped out into Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was quoted as saying he had rather cut his hands off than had to fight Tommy Morrison. I mean, the guy was just a knockout monster. And you're absolutely right. When I read, it's the same. He couldn't control it. The women were crawling all over him. He couldn't handle the money, the women, the booze, the drugs. And he absolutely self-destructed. In the same way. Now, I'm not going to say Johnny Football. What was his name? Was Johnny Manziel from Texas A&M?
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Case. He had everything going for him and just threw it away. He was brought up in a wealthy home, too. So I don't know, how you can figure that. I guess maybe if he'd been brought up under tougher economic circumstances, he wouldn't have ended up doing what he was doing. But he didn't care. He just wanted to party, have a good time. But he's the exception, guys like that,
Yes,
most of the whites are humble. They have good heads on their shoulders. They conduct themselves well. you know, when you hear about athletes being arrested or getting in trouble, Eddie, who are they 98% of the time? They're not the Tommy Morrison types, you know. They're the Leroys and, you know, Jamals.
Yeah. That's right. The law. Matter of fact, when I worked at the last nursing job I had at the University of Memphis, I said, I got so sick and tired of hearing law, law. Everybody was a law. La Shunda, La Runda, La Tunda. I started calling myself La Eddie. I would answer the phone, Muhammad. I started to use, honestly, God, I would answer the phone, and doctors, people call and say, this is Muhammad Eduardo Eddie Miller, you know. And
you know what? You can tell a lot, though, by blacks, the way they name their kids. I mean, you look at somebody like in the NFL, say his name's like Joe Smith or something. Odds are he's going to have a pretty good work ethic and not get in trouble.
True.
But it's the ones with the crazy names. They're the ones that are brought up usually with no fathers, and you know, and they've got the mother just thinks up these. I give them credit though. I mean, it's amazing the names, the first names they can come up with. But usually, it's an indicator of somebody who is not well adjusted, to put it mildly.
There was this is a true story. Matter of fact, my daughter told me about it. I believe it was. Alabama used to have a running back by the name of Saran Stacy.
Oh,
and
yeah,
here's how supposedly his mother got that name. As they was wheeling her into the delivery room to have that baby, she looked over and they had some Saran wrap. And honest to God, she named his ass Saran. Like Saran, right? Just incredible. There was another one like that. And you're talking about, and that's a typical Rosa Scholar, man. I mean, but white people, these white cucks, especially people that live in areas that don't have, that have almost zero blacks, they have no clue. I know maybe getting a little bit off topic, but I know, for instance, I was in Montana. I was blessed before the IRS got me. I went to Montana several times, elk hunting. And I always catch hell from those people. I didn't take it though. I turned it on them. You know, you're a racist. You're from the South. And one fellow was from the Nevada, and he was a pretty guy. We got to be good buddies. And one woman, she was a cook in this where I went elk hunting, and they were giving me help for the blacks. But the joke she told me, I'll never forget. She said, "How do you starve an Indian? They hate Indians out there because they had Indian reservations." She said, "How do you starve an Indian?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I give up." She said, "You hide his food stamps in his work boots." I mean, they hated Indians, man, but they love those damn blacks. But you know, in areas of the country that are all white like that, it makes it just really, really pisses me off for those people that turn against their own race. And I don't know what the hell that got to do with caste football, but I tell you,
part of the problem. It's part of the reason there is a caste system, because so many whites are just blind to racial realities, including when it comes to sports. They just accept what the media tells them, like they've accepted everything else. And I know some of the younger posters, like on caste football, they see it as a generational problem. You know, the boomer, they tend to hate boomers and blame them for everything. And you know, supposedly the younger generation is a little more red pilled or even black pilled when it comes to stuff like that. And so maybe that bodes well for the future. You know, the boomers seem to be the most out of touch generation. I would agree with that. Again, we're talking about on average. I mean, there's only reason, you know, when I was growing up, I mean, there was always a small amount of every generation that was fighting for the right things, but there's never been enough of them or haven't been able to penetrate. You know what my theory is, Eddie? People that watch TV, they're the ones that you can't get through. The ones that just sit in front of the boob tube and watch stuff and absorb it and never question it or think about it or think outside the box. They're the ones that are impossible to persuade of anything. And if you do, maybe if you luck out and the light bulb goes off briefly, you see them a day or two later and they've forgotten everything you said to them. I think a lot of them are just hopeless.
It is so frustrating. I was going to say, especially as me being an activist, I've handed out, you know, like 1,100 papers. Used to put them, I've handed out papers to the League of the South and always make sure Blood River Radio is on there. But you hand out 1,100 newspapers and you never get anything. Some people will tune in and sign up for your newsletter, maybe two or three in 6 months. But you're right. They're just unreachable, a lot of them. So we have to go. Blood Group Radio, when we first started, we said we were after that small minority of the hardest of the hardcore. We don't care about the outright. They're sissies. We want the hardest of the hardcore. With that, we've run completely out of time, Don. And I'd like to thank you so much for coming on, brother. I've enjoyed the hell out of it. I'll be staying in contact with you. Do the same thing with me, brother. Stay in contact.
My pleasure. Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you, Don. People, y'all heard it. I hope y'all enjoyed that. It was kind of laid back, but we were straight up factual. We were transitioning to the third hour now. We're going to bring on the bitter ender himself, Gene Andrews. Be right back, folks. 5 minute break.